You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How do you preserve the ancient ties to your heritage, to your culture? You do it through language. And that has become the life's mission of Chris Gordon. Chris is the first teacher in Michigan to get a K-12 foreign language native teaching endorsement. He is an Anishinaabemowin teacher at the Joseph K. Lumsden School in Sault Ste. Marie. Chris, welcome.
I'm very glad to be here. Thank you.
Chris, what is your heritage?
I'm of a mixed heritage, which is most everyone up here is, with French Anishinaabe blood, which is our Native American heritage. The Anishinaabe is the original word that we use for our people. The modern government terms are Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians, the Bay Mills Indian Community, Grand Traverse Band. We're all part of the Anishinaabe people, so the French Anishinaabe is most of my heritage, and of course I have a slew of other European lines along the path, but I most identify with my Anishinaabe heritage.
Did you speak the language as a child?
No, that's the interesting part. And as our city is approaching our 350th anniversary of its founding, it really reminds us of the amount of impact and long-standing impact of colonialism here in Sault Ste. Marie, our original name, Balating. My family, the last speaker, as far as we know, was my great-grandfather, who passed away 10 years before I was even born. And from all family accounts, he never used the language around the home. He only used it with other relatives away from the home. And he spoke French and Anishinaabemowin and English. His father only spoke French and Anishinaabemowin and very broken English at that time in the late 1800s, early 1900s. So there was a huge transition for many families in our area when it came to our heritage and the language especially. And unfortunately, in my family's case, that heritage was denied, you know, and ignored. And in some cases, it's understood that it was survival. You know, it was a different time period back then. And, you know, saying you were Indian, as the reference and term was used then, wasn't actually something to be proud of or to be recognized. And many times that would cost you a job. My family fell into that aspect. And I always share this story that recognized that in the census records of I have an ancestor who was listed in the census rolls under the treaties and recognized as Anishinaabe, and it said Indian, the letter I in the census. The next census, 10 years later, he's an I/white, or W, which is the term for white. Another 10 years later, he's just a W. So somehow he just miraculously changed his heritage from Indian to white. Boy, oh boy, you know, so many families fell into that situation, and that's the one I came from. So I never got to hear it growing up at all. It wasn't much later.
Yeah, that I'm interested in when you reconnected with your heritage to the point where you learned the language.
I credit my grandmother for following up with the Sioux tribe and getting us enrolled because they were trying to expand their roles in the mid to late 70s. We became tribal members, and I was only, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old at the time. And all of a sudden, you know, we went from just French and English and whatever, you know, Irish and all those other mixes to, hey, we're Indian. Like, holy cow, what's that mean? And fast forward quite a few years later, not really understanding what it means, but then all of a sudden there's something happened inside that sometimes can't really, you know, be explained. But through time, it was understood and through certain events and following that ancestral line that it really was our ancestors that come back and say to us in their own ways that the circle has to get reconnected. We need someone to bring this up, to keep it going, to pass it on. And for whatever reason, you know, that's what happened to me. And I was at University of Michigan when it really became strong and aware of who I was as an Anishinaabe person and connecting and have that personal identity of I'm proud to be an Anishinaabe person.
And I understand that caused some friction.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a challenging time. There wasn't a lot of us Anishinaabe people at University of Michigan there. I think there was about 150 when I was going to school there. There was a crossroads happening of acceptance of those things. And, you know, it was a tough thing going from not having it when people see me one way and then say, you know, all of a sudden, oh, he's changing. That's hard for other people to accept too, I guess. And, you know, we went through a struggle. That was a crossing point for me, knowing that this is what I need to do for me in my life and then for our family to pass this down to the next generation. And the language was part of that. Anishinaabemowin became a huge part.
from embracing your heritage and learning Anishinaabe when you're now teaching it. And so what made you decide that you wanted to teach it and make that your life's work?
Incredibly, when I was at University of Michigan, that wasn't my goal at that time to become a teacher. In fact, had I known that, I probably would have finished my teaching degree at Michigan and made it a little bit easier for myself. I was interested in movement science and finished with a kinesiology degree. I was interested in athletic training and possible physical therapy, and, you know, I liked that field. The Ojibwe was personal. After I graduated Michigan, I was still fortunate enough to continue my hockey career for a little while. During the summer, a teacher's institute opened at Bay Mills Community College here back home. And that program kind of sparked something. And it's when I had those summers kind of, you know, with a lot of time on my hands, just training and, you know, playing hockey, to really think about what my future was going to be. And when the teacher's institute was open and going in Bay Mills, I decided to use that opportunity to expand my language. And then that first summer, really, that's when it changed. It was the summer of 97, 98. Those 2 years really started to change things for me as what where I was going to go and what I was going to do. And in 1999 was the year I decided, you know, hockey, I needed to move on from that and go on to my next path and next journey. And just got very lucky that I was able to get hired here at the school and been here ever since.
And you are endorsed by the state of Michigan to teach at the K-12 level. What are the age ranges of your students?
Our school is a K-8 school. Mm-hmm. That endorsement, honestly, is it's been kind of a life's work. The interesting part of that whole process, if we backtrack, is the Bay Mills Indian Community Program, the Anishinaabemowin Teacher Certificate. They told us day one that the state of Michigan is not going to recognize our certificate, which some of us were like, well, why not? I mean, we're spending 8 hours a day at this program for 12 weeks every year for 3 years, and it's like, you know, they're not going to recognize us. We you know, had trouble with that. That's the, you know, where I say the real drive came, and I still, you know, I'm still kind of pinching myself that this has happened and it's, you know, I'm the first. Because, you know, one thing I think about is those elders that have been teaching in the classrooms, the ones who are the first speakers, you know, those are the true experts. You know, those are the true priceless holders of our language.
When you think of the history of your culture, of the Anishinaabe people, and what you're doing in the classroom right now with these kids at the Joseph K. Lumsden School there at Sault Ste. Marie, what do you feel your role is in the big picture of the history of your people?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Honestly, Cynthia, there is the only thing, and I talked to an elder about this, who's a first speaker, about our school. And the one thing that we have a very kind of, it's a real balancing act. Because our school is not set up to create fluent speakers. We're not an immersion school, which now is the primary means of helping students become fully bilingual and conversationally fluent in the language. And there's some incredible success stories of indigenous communities reclaiming their language and their heritage by those models and programs, the Hawaiians, our parents that we look to mm-hmm. in that model, because they have been so successful in their programs. And now we have several Ojibwe programs or Anishinaabemowin programs. Wadoka Dotting is one of the first over in Wisconsin. Those programs help develop the fluent speakers, our next speakers. For us, it's about trying to plant the seed for that, give them some conversational understanding, some conversational skills at a very basic beginner level, which is about what we have time for. And hopefully that gives them enough, at least some of them, as they get older, that they will, you know, seek that out and seek those other ones and other programs and other ways to reclaim that language. That's one side of it. The other side of it is helping all people, because, you know, we're a charter school as well. You know, we have roughly a 70-30 split with Native students and non-Native students, that we build an appreciation and respect for the Anishinaabe culture, but all people. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a really interesting time as far as the dynamics of respecting one another or not respecting one another. And our culture is about respect. And we try to instill that with our kids. we're trying to respect our language, our heritage, our culture of the Anishinaabe people, but also all people. And hopefully when they leave our school, we've given them that foundation and that balance when they move on, and they'll carry that with them.
Chris, I can't let you go without asking you to give many of us who have not had a chance to hear Anishinaabe when spoken, can you just, I don't know, say something for us? So let us give us a sense of what this language sounds like.
Well, I can say one thing, you know, that I'm very appreciative and honored for this. So, Napitan Dagwak, Amanda Kichatwa Mazinagan, Inoagae Kidoyan. That's saying I'm honored for this special, you know, certificate, piece of paper as it is, and also the time to say I do ask forgiveness to our first speakers out there who might listen to my accent, because they can sniff that out pretty fast, that I'm a second speaker, a second language learner, as opposed to a first speaker. So I always ask for that understanding of our first speakers, that I'm saying things as closely resembling our original language as I can.
And you're carrying the torch.
Yeah, we're trying to. I'll give you guys one word, and after hearing the weather conditions down there, I'll give you the word that we use to describe a very bright and sunny day, Waseyasege.
Waseyasege.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys have the same weather. We are enjoying Waseyasege up here, so hopefully we'll spread that message down there and you can use that word.
Chris, how do you say thank you?
Miigwech.
Miigwech, Chris Gordon, teaching the native language of the Ojibwe people, the first in Michigan to get a K-12 teaching endorsement to do so. Chris teaches Anishinaabemowin at the Joseph K. Lumsden School in Sault Ste. Marie. It was great meeting you and talking with you, Chris. Thank you so very much.
I appreciate the time, Cynthia. Thank you.
Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.